Hey, this is James Campion, the author of Shout It Out Loud, the story of Kiss's Destroyer and the making of an American icon, and you are listening to my buddies Tom and Zeus and the Shout It Out Loud cast. Rock on, boys.
Oh, boy. Here we go. Oi.
This is Gene Simmons.
Put that cookie down.
Kiss.
Stop pressing the button.
Star Broker Simmons.
Star?
Paul Stanley. Is that what he does?
Stop shouting.
I need Ace Frehley.
He's not what you would call a handsome man.
Oh, no. Here come the Kiss times.
Is that a positive thing? Okay.
All right.
I'm going to grab me an ice cold mellow gallon.
Why do that to the fan?
Stop it.
Why?
Because fuck them.
Clap them.
What are you talking about?
617-525-0.
You do? Hey, fucko.
Do you like Kiss?
Settle down.
Hello. Hey, what's up there, Kiss Army? Tom and Zeus, another episode of Shout It Out Loud cast. Episode 210, aptly titled,
Thinking Stanley.
I can't believe this. What are we doing?
Thinking Stanley here, people, and listen.
We'll get to it. We'll get to it. It's news. Whether you like to admit it or not, people, it's in the news. And when news breaks, we break it.
Yeah. We don't shy away from the controversy.
We welcome it.
Yeah, we steer the car right into it and talk about it.
That's right, baby.
So, Tom, another week went by. Anything new?
Listen. I mean, no. Nope. Trying to get through the winter here in New England here. It was literally last week with the wind chill. It was 35 below zero. Trying to take my poor dog outside without killing him. That was a lot of fun. But then it was like 50 degrees today. So, you know, I'm anxious to get this done with and move on to the spring. But
you got it. You got it, punk.
And I was also thinking, too, what a better Valentine's Day gift to our Shout It Out Loudcast sweethearts than Sinking Stanley making an appearance for the holiday, right? Wonderful. That's how much we love you people.
I forgot. I think you mentioned that to me. Like, hey, there's a Valentine's Day. Are we doing a Valentine's Day episode? Yeah, Sinking Stanley.
Sinking Stanley's here to tell you how much he loves you and Paul.
Fucking A. All right. So before we get into last week's episode, we give a shout out to the tax man, Tony Barone.
Oh, we certainly do. Hey, Loudcasters. AB CPA Inc. is an accounting firm located in the suburbs of Chicago that can assist you with all of your accounting and tax needs. For business, they offer bookkeeping, financial statements, payroll processing, payroll tax returns, sales tax returns, filing federal and state income tax returns, and help with starting your own business as well. For individuals, they offer help with sole proprietorships, rental real estate, trust and estate tax returns, and filing personal federal and state income tax returns. They have access to all 50 states. So whether you live in,
how about Idaho
or
Indiana,
AB CPA Inc. can prepare an e-file on your behalf. Did you know, Kiss Army, if you own a business with employees and have had a 20% reduction of revenue than you did in 2019 due to COVID or state mandated shutdowns, you might be entitled to additional tax credits. Follow them on Facebook and LinkedIn and visit them on their website at abcpainc.com. That's www.abcpainc.com or email our buddy Tony at tony@abcpainc.com. That is tony@abcpainc.com or call him at 708-430-3232. That's 708-430-3232.
Yeah, ABCPA Inc.
Woohoo!
So, Tom, last week we talked about Ultimate Classic Rock's article about the 50 great Kiss concerts, and we did a poll.
Yes, we did. So we picked a couple of eras of the band and said, which era of the band do you wish you could have seen? The four categories are the beginning up to alive, Spirit of 76 tour up to Alive 2, Super Kiss to Creatures, or something from the non-makeup era. No surprise, 52% of the votes went to the Spirit of 76 to Alive 2 era of the band. Then you had 30% with the early years up to Alive, 10% Super Kiss to Creatures, and that poor non-makeup era gets about 8% of the vote. Couple comments on here. Our buddy Reg Daniels. Hey, guys, listen to the episode. The early 2000s was nuts for lineups. I'm sure you know the reason is that promoters were enforcing a three-quarters OG member contract for bookings. Eric Singer was meant to play Symphony until that contract rule was enforced. I'm not sure I knew about that.
Yeah.
So three-fourths of the original lineups had to play. You know what? I think now that we're talking out loud, I think I remember hearing murmurs of that, but that's
great. Same thing with the Aerosmith tour.
That's right. That's right. Yep. And this is why we love our listeners. Thank you, Reg. Distin Nelson said, luckily, I have seen every era of Kiss. Wow. Our buddy Nige Savage, even though my preferred era is the non-makeup era, I voted the beginning to Alive. It's surely always the most exciting to see a band when they're young, hungry, and at their most groundbreaking. To see them back would have been completely mind-blowing. And our buddy Tony from Restrained always has the correct answer. Love Gun era, 100%. OG Kiss in their prime. And let's get to a couple episode-specific comments here. Our buddy King Cusano said, I wonder why they decided to omit the concert for the Sharks. And, hilariously, the actual official Ultimate Classic Rock Twitter page responded and said it was a close call. The Lost Alive 2 show from Japan and Sharks were on our draft version, along with the opening night of Asylum with the huge sign, the Brooklyn Bridge MTV show, the opening night of Psycho Circus 3D, and a few other things. So that was pretty cool, Ultimate Classic Rock getting involved. And our buddy Brad Baird, great episode going over the 50 concerts. Now we need one. Well, you'll just turn loose on everyone like at the first part of the episode. It's got to be good for the blood pressure. He's referring to men when me and Zeus just decided to flip out and unload on everything that was bothering us at the beginning of the episode. But there's Twitter. What do you got on the Book of Face?
On the Book of Face, Jason Warden.
Yeah, Jay.
Love it when you guys go over articles like this. UCR is a lot more knowledgeable and enjoyable than those so-called lists from Rolling Stone, but do love the takes on each. The cherry on top are the ace appearances. Hope they keep coming. Oh, thank nice. You, brother. God bless you. Graham Richley also added, Tom, what? No mention of the concert played on the back of a boat to Sharks? Surely see, a highlight of Kiss's career.
See, two people commented on that embarrassment.
Yep. Over on our group Loudcasters page, Jack Pinocchio. I was in tears at this moment, and he has the photo of Hyman Roth in Cuba.
Oh, with the cake.
I want all of you to enjoy your cake. So enjoy. And he has side by that side of Peter holding his birthday cake.
Yep.
And a smaller piece. Oliver Villar. Great episode. My bizarre takeaway from the show, believe it or not, is when Zeus mentions being 10 years old on June 25th, 1983, we've got the exact same birthday.
Oh, no. Uh-oh. Yeah,
Oliver. Mike Murphy. Zeus for the win with the SD Special Delivery Jones reference.
That's awesome.
He did have like a hole in his back. I don't know what the hell that was. Justin Steele says, Friday night at 8. You will not be late. Lilo, Peebo, Teddy P.
Love it.
Josh Brown says, yeah, West Virginia in the sponsor. Please make Patreon shit talk conversation. And he goes on to tell us about some of the live recordings that he liked. And oh, my God, the spam emails. we get the spam emails on our podcast now. That's right. Don't forget our good buddy Hugo from our email. Over on Instagram, Damian Moon Drums. I read it. Great selection of shows. Couldn't have done it better. Nice. A lot of people like that. I mean, I'll give them credit. May not agree with them, but it's a pretty researched article. So good for them.
Well, absolutely, because all 50 concerts had a little blurb about it with the details of it. So very well done.
Yeah. Over on our YouTube page, Dashdown asked Tom, great show. What's honking on Bobo mean, bro?
Honking on Bobo is one of the worst experiments that Aerosmith ever tried to get into. It was their attempt at like doing like blues. It was a studio album. It was just bad. Now, that's not to say I don't like blues or blues rock. Nobody wanted to hear that. And every time I say honking on Bobo, it just makes me laugh because it's so dumb. That tour sucked. Anyways, sorry.
On that note, Marty White, this list omits the most important Kiss show. June 6, 1990, Weed Sport, New York. It was great. It was a show I attended.
Nice.
And I'll give a tip of the hat to our guest. This is from Eddie Catflap. Sinkin' Stanley is a legend. Scab Kiss blows.
I'm sorry. Scab Kiss. What the fuck is the matter with people? Oh.
Oh, one last thing, Tom.
Yeah.
A guy named Emmanuel Martins Jr. Hi there, Tom and Zeus. I'm particularly intrigued by how Kiss treats the non-makeup, non-original lineup years. For example, this new soundboard album from 84. There are nothing with Eric Carr, Mark St. John, or even Bruce Kulick on the items included in the package. The same applies to recent merch like Hot in the Shade and Unmasked, with Eric being deleted from the picture on the t-shirt. As an 80s, early 90s Kiss fan, I feel heavily offended. What is the purpose of rewriting history? Greetings from Brazil, buddies.
Thank you for that. It's a great question. And here's, look, I don't know the answer to this. And maybe Zeus and I will try to dig in and find out if there's a definitive business-related answer for this. My theory is that it's one thing to release something with Eric Carr and Mark St. John or Bruce Kulick. It's another thing to sell visual merchandise with their images on it, as opposed to an audio product. So I think that's why you're not going to see anything with Bruce or Eric or Vinny or Mark St. John while this formation of the band currently exists, touring, etc. That's my theory. I don't know. I could be wrong. Because you're right. I don't understand why everybody comes back to that Unmasked shirt that has the blacked out Eric Carr face. And you're right, the cards for this off the soundboard, it just has Paul and Gene. It doesn't have any band photos, nothing with Bruce or nothing with Mark or Eric. So that's my guess. I don't know.
Anyway, over to you, Tom.
All right, let's blow through some emails here. Our buddy Gary Cap, we love Gary. Great show as always. Glaring omission in this top 50 list. In my opinion, March 24th, 1977, Osaka, Japan should be in this list. This concert was the first show they did in Japan, which sparked a huge following for the band in that region. They played 9 shows in 12 days, including the April 2nd show, which most people know it as the Lost Alive 2 bootleg, and the video from that is on Kissology Volume 1. Following that set of shows, they would play over 80 concerts in Japan over the next 45 years. This is why we love Gary. Where are you going to get that kind of stats, dates, information? Gary's the best.
Love him.
Our buddy Scott Wheeler, great episode. Couple of thoughts on this. The Bandit makeup was terrible. Tony Kornheiser was a music journalist? I would have bet my Kiss lunchbox that wasn't true. I've got you guys saying, shock me. Stuck in my head. Completely agree that Dynasty was the beginning of the end, kind of like Kiss drag queens in those costumes. Uh-oh. Coolest concert in my life was seeing Kiss in 1992 at a small club here in Baltimore named Hammerjacks. Not listing Kiss at Budokan is really unforgivable. And I vividly recall the WC, WCW demon character, he could have kicked Frankie Williams' ass. Zeus, I don't know what that means. You're the wrestling
Frankie
guy.
Frankie Williams is the idiot that Roddy Piper beat up in his.
Okay.
Just a jobber.
Gotcha. A good buddy, Wes Beach. Another superb and interesting show. A coworker of mine's brother got us tickets to the Tiger Stadium show, and it definitely lived up to the hype. The band played and sounded great, and our seats were on the field about 12 rows back and were excellent. There was such anticipation and electricity in the air that when they finally hit the stage, the crowd just erupted. Probably the most memorable concert I've ever attended. Was there Super Bowl pregame show in Atlanta in 99 mentioned? Did you mention the show closing five-song set after the 96 MTV Awards show? They were on fire and looked great. Keep up the great work, Wes. Thank you, Wes. And then we got one here from our good buddy, Backpack Brad Rustoven of the Slam Fest podcast. Make sure you're checking out Brad's show. Great and timely episode, guy. One of the many advantages of recording episodes in real time. Kudos. On January 30th of this year, I was expecting an announcement from Kiss regarding the date of their last show. Instead, I saw this article show up on my Facebook feed, and I thought, what a cool idea. Yes, he included a lot of the milestone shows, but there were 9 head scratchers and what the fuck moments. He talks about the scathing review one, the Tony Kornheiser one, the Paul solo tour one. This isn't even a Kiss concert. Kiss being told not to blow up their stage. Kiss debuting their own professional wrestler. They performed one song. The Millennium Live album, one word, terrible. Joe Perry joining Kiss on stage? A couple, he just used the opening night of a tour versus a specific moment. 1979, the return of Kiss fizzles. 1987, dead end on a Crazy Nights tour. I get it. He's a journalist and needs to make it interesting for the non-Kiss-tard. But these 9 are events from the band's history, not exactly important comments. Then he goes off to name a couple of important concerts that he thinks he missed. The Winterland Ballroom show in 75, Cadillac High School in 75, 1977 first show at Madison Square Garden. We talked about Budokan, Under the Brooklyn Bridge, Dodge Stadium, The Whiskey in 2019. Great stuff. This is another reason we love Brad and Slamfest. Details, baby. Plus, he walks around with a backpack full of beer. Thank you, Brad. Great email. And we're going to wrap up feedback with this one. From Joey Dunn. Look what I found. I have written you guys before and just want to say that you, quote, have revived my love for Kiss. I'm listening to the episodes in order and just finished the Love Gun review. I've been a Kiss fan since 1975 and I got curious as to what vinyl I actually might still have. I believe, except for my copy of Double Platinum from the Columbia Record Club, I have original vinyl for the Kiss debut, Alive, all 4 solos, Rock and Roll Over, Alive 2, Unmasked, Animalize, Killers, Music from the Elder. Damn. I also had the original copy of the Originals collection, which is awesome. Had a promo of Heavens on Fire. I'm enclosing some pictures of stuff I found, including my program for my first Kiss show, Houston 75. Sorry for the long email, but I wanted to share it with my 2 favorite fuckos. Joey Dunn. And then he sends us a collection of amazing photos from his vinyl collection. Some really, really cool items. Joey Dunn. For this, my friend, you are the comment of the week.
Good answer. Good answer. Like the way you think. I'm going to be watching you.
Yeah, Joey. That's awesome. Woo-hoo. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, Tom, what we do next is we go over and give a shout out to our Patreon family. And like I've been doing now for I don't know how many weeks in a row, we got another one. And this one is Mark Edwards, better known as Aggie Dad Aggie. And Tiger Grad. Guys have joined us as a Catman tier. And thank you. We appreciate it. We hope and expect that you're going to get a big kick out of being in with the Patreon family. And we appreciate the support. And if you want to support the show and help us out, please go over to Patreon. You find it on our website. When you go to our shoutitoutloudcast.com, our awesome new website, you'll see it right there on the landing page, Patreon. Click on that. It'll talk about the 4 tiers, what you get from us per each tier. And how you can help and support the show. The support is a huge help to us and to help the show grow tremendously over the past couple of years. And all the people that are in our Patreon family, we love them, and they are a huge, huge source of entertainment in our Patreon group. And if you want to join our Patreon group, like we said, go to the website and you'll see the link there. Just click on that and you'll go right to it. Or you can go to patreon.com or the app Patreon. And then you'll see creators, and you search Shout It Out Loudcast and find out all about it. And again, thank you for all our Patreon families, that for all you what you do for us and the support you give us. And if you guys want to help out, anyone out there listening, come join the family. Come join the fun. We think you're going to enjoy it, and we appreciate it when you do.
Yeah, you guys are the best. Huge shout out to Mark Edwards, a.k.a. Aggie Dad and Tiger Grad. Thank you so much for becoming a part of our amazing Patreon family, and to everybody who's part of that family. It keeps growing every week, and we're so happy, so excited, and so grateful that each week we can announce new members of the family. So, guys, thank you so much.
Yeah, Tom, what we do next is we hop over to Kiss World and find out what's going on over there.
Yeah, well, so we're recording on Wednesday, February 8th. And by the time this episode drops, the news might be that Kiss has a new manager. that's pretty much the purpose of this whole episode tonight, was the news about Doc. And we'll get into that when we talk to our guest. But it's kind of quiet right now. I think everybody was anticipating some kind of announcement on that 50th anniversary show of some U.S. dates, a final show, something. There's nothing going on right now.
Yeah, maybe because they have to get a new organizer to get that set.
Perhaps. But that being said, Gene Simmons is talking about his big event in May, where you can spend the weekend with him, have dinner with him, get a plate that says, "I ate dinner with Gene Simmons." Yeah. That's it looks like a pretty exciting event. And he's talking about that on his social media. Also in the news, Paul is showing us his new commercial for the Super Bowl that he's going to be in. My God. Anyways, and Kiss has been announced to be part of another festival called the Masters of Rock, which takes place in Argentina. And I think our buddy Steve Wright from Part of the Hell has already booked his flight, because it says the Scorpions and Helloween are playing with Kiss. Kiss keeps making the festival circuit. So God bless them. Also, Deep Purple will be there too. For anybody, I don't even know Deep Purple's around. I don't even know what fucking band members are still in there.
A lot of them are.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Kiss continues to do the circuit there with the festival. So good for them.
Yeah, and then our buddy Ace Frehley put out a new set list. And so he's now singing, the band, they're performing Parasite, Snowblind, Speeding Back, Rip It Out, Rock Soldiers, Insane, Detroit Rock City, Stranger in a Strange Land, Rocket Ride, Getaway, New York Groove, Shock Me, Cold Gin, and Deuce. Thoughts?
Better than the set list we got when we saw him. Yeah. And my big thing is just stop playing the fucking Kiss songs that you didn't sing.
Yep. Or write.
Or write. Exactly. Just so, stop.
Yeah. Getaway, I get. Cold Gin, I get. Right? Yeah. I mean, those need to get away from the fucking set list. There's no reason Deuce should be in there. Yeah, they were playing Deuce, and then I just played some solo licks over it, and then they said, "You want to join the band?" Like,
played a couple chord patterns, and I figured, why not add it to the repertoire?
I played my solo from Three Blind Mice on it, and I fucking blew them away.
So you're telling me you'd rather hear Genghis Khan instead of Deuce?
Why don't you call it Genghis Khan and put it on one of your shitty solo albums in the future?
As opposed to "My Uncle Is a Raft" on your vault.
Ace, you need a vault part two. Okay, Gene, I'll do a vault. What kind of shitty songs you want me to put in? Just put in all your solo albums. sorry. Oh, anyway. Yeah, so Ace has got this new set list. But here's the other thing, though. Now he's got Ryan Spencer, Courtney Crone, fucking Kulik, fucking Rodham Clinton. Now he's playing bass. And only Jeremy is the guitarist with Ace. Oh, fuck, I got to do work. Is he saving costs or is Zach and Phil not available? What's the story there?
I don't know. We'll have to find out.
Right? Because he also kind of threw Phil on the bus a little bit. I got a better bass player now. He can sing better, too. Like, what happened there?
I don't know. It's a good one. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Anyway, I think that's the news for now, Tom. So let's give a call to the Kiss Camp and see if Doc McGee is still on their website.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here, taking a break from listening to a little Shout It Out Loudcast episode. Love Tom and Zeus talking all things Kiss. Of course, I was listening to them on my new Raycon wireless earbuds. They have quickly become my go-to earbuds because of the comfort. These soft tips are the best I've ever used. And at this price, plus a Pantheon discount, Raycon is really hitting on all marks. Sound quality is great too. I really love having these three EQ options because I like more bass in the music, but less in my podcast. 8 hours of playtime for the battery is great as well. Surround sound, noise isolating, and awareness mode are all included. These are great earbuds. Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order plus free shipping. That's right. You'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon. Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time, it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself, and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant-quality meals. Well, they got the shipment to Protein Plus Meal Plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian-approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor Meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.
Okay, we're back, and I just got some information. It looks like Ace is actually trying to be the manager of the band since they won't let him play with the band.
Guys, I got you booked at a couple clubs, and there's a grand opening of a market basket down here in southern New Hampshire. They're looking for a rock act.
I used to play a couple car dealerships down from there. We'll help them open up a new racetrack, too.
I got a little putt-putt place opening up this summer, too, if you want to come by.
I promised them I would play that awful song, Pursuit of Rock and Roll, for them.
What a terrible.
And Chuck Berry.
Oh, man. Oh.
Anyway, Tom, we've been talking about this for quite some time. The text that me and you would have about, like, oh, look what he wrote now. And Tim has been kind of in our radar for quite some time.
Oh, yeah. Years.
And it finally, like, the dam broke. the motherfucker ended up becoming huge news.
Yeah, I mean, look, he made news, okay? And we love KISS. We love this show. We love our listeners. And look, I understand that people think this is the third rail, and God bless them. If that's how they handle it, that's fine. But there is no third rail for our show. And I'm not saying that to, like, pound our chest, but there is no third rail for Shout Out Loudcast. When a story that is out there is on Ultimate Classic Rock and Blabbermouth and Loudwire and Ultimate Guitar and Eddie Trunk and overseas now, according to Tim, that's news. Whether it's news that you want to believe or news that you care about or news that offends you as to how it was broken, it's news. And it involves the manager of the band that we love. And you could be like, this is a fucking big nothing burger. What are you doing? That's fine. That is absolutely your opinion. But it's news that everybody was talking about this past week. And we've talked to Tim for years, like Zeus has said. We figured, let's have him on. Let's tell the story. And then there you go.
Before we play the interview, we're going to play the doc clip. So you know what this is all about.
Yep.
So we're going to play the doc clip. Here you go.
Think it's Danley here with the fake army. And Doc, when's Paul going to admit that he lip syncs?
He sings every track. So he sings to it. So he's not lip syncing. He sings. He fully sings.
Okay.
It's enhanced. Every, you know, it's just part of the process to make sure that everybody hears the songs the way they should be sang. To begin with. So, you know, nobody wants to hear people do stuff that's not real. It's not what they came to hear.
So you're actually saying there are backing tracks that he's singing to?
He'll sing the tracks. Gotcha. Yeah, they everybody, it's all part of a process because everybody wants to hear everybody sing.
Awesome.
You know, he sings, but he sings, fully sings to every song.
And when are fans going to get their Dubai packages?
Jesus, I'm sure we're trying to work that out now with the people that sold them.
Okay.
But we're going to make good on every one of them. I can tell you that. KISS will.
And now, Thinking Stanley here, people.
Thinking Stanley here, people, and listen.
Well, the time has finally come for Shout It Out Loudcast to welcome a very special guest. You've heard us talk about him for a long time. You know about him. You see him on Facebook. You hear him on Eddie Trunk. The man known as Sinkin' Stanley, Tim, is here. Welcome to Shout It Out Loudcast.
Sinkin' Stanley here, Tom and Zeus. And God, it's such an honor to be on Shout It Out Loudcast, the greatest KISS podcast in the world. This is awesome. What took you pussy so long?
We're never going to make
it's
it through
gonna
this.
It's not going to work.
What's wrong? Do I got to carry the show here, guys? Eddie Trunk has no problem talking to me.
Yeah. What the fuck?
Oh.
All right.
Well, Zeus, I see you got your Chef Boyardee Think shirt.
I do. Tom got me this for Christmas. I
That's
wear it proudly
awesome.
Here. All right.
You got some pizza to go with that tonight?
I got some Regina Pizzeria with a couple of mellow yellow cups of red booze. Don't tell anybody.
I'll let Tommy and have him bring over some pepperoni, some more toppings.
Oh, here we go. So is Tim here too, or is Tim available?
Well, I don't know. Maybe. You don't want to talk to him. He's boring.
We
this
do.
This is my shtick.
All right. Thinking
Stanley. Thinking Stanley's taking over the world.
Oh, God. Here we go.
And you know it's true.
It is true. It is true. And we're very excited for Sinkin' Stanley to take over the world. But we're gonna see if we can get Tim to talk to us for a few minutes.
Sure.
All right. So let me start this off. So
how you guys doing?
When we first started this show and we would see your posts from time to time, we would get a chuckle out of them and giggle. And then it got to the point where, like, dude, this guy is fucking relentless. What the fuck is this? And then it became, so we would text each other like these fucking stupid things. You would create these fucking images and we would be like, what is this shit? And then at some point, and we're going to be honest with you, brother, we're like, there's got to be something wrong here. Paul must have fucking kicked his dog, like stole his girlfriend or done something. What the fuck has Paul Stanley done to you that you are so fucking over the top, fucking possessed with fucking terrorizing him? How's that?
We'll get to this in a second. Let me back up a second.
Okay.
How long ago did you guys actually hear of the Sinkin' Stanley shtick or see memes?
Well, before we knew you, we knew your post. We knew Tim before Sinkin' Stanley even existed. We knew about you and your post, and we knew how you were relentless with Paul
and the memes, right?
And the memes with Paul and Tommy and a lot of that stuff that we talked about. Okay. And then when the Sinkin' Stanley character was created and Chef Boy Do I Sink and the Facebook page and now the Sink Army and all
actually,
that.
That's more recent.
Right. Exactly.
Sinkin' Stanley started 3 years ago during COVID when Tiger King was out.
Yep. Exactly.
Yep. But prior to that, me and some buddies, I got a really good buddy that taught me how to do, the Photoshop better.
Yep.
He got my skills up and my memes got better and better because I had all these great ideas, you know, and they really weren't coming to fruition the way I wanted them to. So he helped me out. And then it was just game on.
So what, like Zeus said, I know everybody has like their thing. What prompted you to be like, I'm going to go after this guy because what he's doing, I don't like what he's doing. I know he's like, what? Tell us what the genesis of your will to destroy Paul Stanley. Where did that come from?
This vitriol. Where did it come from?
Well, it all stems from being a KISS fan all my life.
Okay.
This is 5 years old, you know, 1976.
Yep.
I got my first KISS album, Hotter Than Hell.
Okay.
I was a fan ever since. Diehard fan. Paul was never my favorite character. Obviously Ace was. Ace is what, you know, made me want to become a musician, pick up a guitar, you know, the classic cliche.
Yep.
You know, so, and then during the 80s, I just kept with it. Even when he, you know, went all Bon Jovi flamer, you know, I just stuck with it. You know, I was a fan, you know, and then, you know, obviously I finally got to see him live on the Hot in the Shade tour.
Mm-hmm.
And what a fucking awesome concert to be the first show.
Yep.
And then again, Revenge. And then, you know, the reunion came around and saw that. And I was like, I can't top this. This is it. This was the shit. Right. And then all of a sudden, you know, they start slapping, Ace and Peter's makeup on Eric and Tommy, you know, so we get Cheater Chris and Fake Frilly. So I'm like, fuck this shit. I'm fucking out of here. I don't want nothing to do with this.
Okay.
And then, you know, I didn't really get into social media until about probably 2013, 14 sometime.
Yep.
And I started getting in all these groups and I was like, holy shit, these guys are thinking just like I am. And, you know, and it just grew from there. And then I discovered Twitter and I was like, oh shit. And this is all my wife's fault because she made me get on social media, made me get a Twitter account, and boom.
Now, most of what you do though is on Facebook, and you've since created your own group, your Sink Army group.
Oh yeah. Me and a buddy. Yeah. We created that.
Yeah. And
I'm not alone. Let's make that clear.
Oh, absolutely. I'm with you.
There's others behind the scenes that help me out with a lot of stuff.
I understand. Yeah. And you've been on and the whole thing with the Sinkin' Stanley and the tracks. And then obviously, I think everybody who's in the KISS world out there right now listening to us understands why we've decided to have you on our show now. Because you, Sink and Stanley Tim, have shaped the KISS narrative this entire past week. Okay. Tell us about the event with Doc, because it went everywhere. It was Eddie Trunk. It was Ultimate Classic Rock. It was Blabbermouth. Because Doc finally said what you have been saying for years. And I'm telling you right now, I think the worst phone call in the world is Doc picking up the phone with Paul on the other end, because now.
Oh,
yeah. So talk to us about that.
You want to talk about that right now? All right. So what happened was I wanted to go down, you know, and I'm like, you know, I've been building it in my group. I've been saying, yeah, I'm going to go. And then my car broke down.
Wait, wait, wait. Go where? Like, build it up.
Go where? What
I was going to go to the Wentworth Gallery in Boca Raton obviously, I'm not going to meet Paul, but I'm going to get a chance to do my shtick and have him hear me.
Okay.
And get a reaction. That was my whole thing, was just to get a reaction from him.
Now, did you know Doc was going to be there? Was it?
Had no fucking idea, bro.
Okay.
No idea. No idea. You mind if I cuss every now and then?
You've listened to us for 4 years. You know how we go ahead.
I'm being polite.
Okay. Don't be polite. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, so I drive down there, right? And I walk in there and it's cool. It's just a little tiny Wentworth Gallery, you know, in a fucking mall next to a Bloomingdale's. So, and he's already in there and we start being able to see him back in the back. So, and I'm like, ah, shit, you know, I can't do nothing right now. So I just started talking to people. And then I interviewed a guy who actually went inside and, you know, he was saying how pushy they were being to people. You know, if you didn't have the minimum to spend was $3,000. And if you weren't interested in buying anything within 10 minutes, they ushered you out the door.
Wow.
So they were being really, really pompous, really, you know, snooty.
Okay.
And so I interviewed one of them guys. And then after that, Doc McGee comes walking outside. I was like, holy shit, it's Doc. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yep.
So I'm like, fuck, I'm going to go up and see if he'll get, you know, take a picture with me. So I go up, I'm like, hey, Doc, shake his hand. Can I get a picture? He's like, yeah. So I take a picture with him. Then I walk away and I go back to the other guys I was hanging out talking with. And then he's just hanging out, walking around. And, you know, less people are talking to him. I said, fuck it, I'm going to go up. I'm going to see if he'll do a little interview with me, if he'll answer some questions. So I go up and I ask him, I say, you know, hey, Doc, would you do an interview for my Facebook group? He's like, oh, yeah, sure. But I go, disclaimer, Doc, disclaimer. When I kick into my character, you may not want to do this interview. He's like, let's go for it, man.
Oh, no.
And then that's what you see.
I don't think he knows. I don't think he knows the whole Paul history with you personally.
No,
he's got to know something, man.
He didn't wreck. He didn't. And yeah, comes at he me. Didn't put. I don't think he put it together. You never.
I don't think so either.
There's no way he would have. He would have talked to you. He knows. Listen, we all know Paul. There's no way that Paul wouldn't fucking flip out him. That he hasn't.
Tim,
I will tell you, I would not be shocked if you hear that him and Doc and KISS are separating, parting ways.
Oh, we'll get to that. We'll get to that.
I'm not kidding.
No, Zeus, hold that thought. Hold that thought, because I want to talk about that too. But so, Tim, when you asked him the question, because I said to Zeus, I said, listen to the video. He says, thinking Stanley here. And I'm like, fucking Doc is like not breaking character. So when you asked him that question, you sent us the video. Were you blown away at his response?
Honestly, not at first. I was just so into doing it. You know, I didn't even know what I had at the moment. I didn't even think about it really until a couple hours later when I got in my car and I watched the video and could actually hear it clearly.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, fuck, I got gold here.
You did.
You know, I was like, holy shit.
You didn't edit your voice, did you?
No, not at all.
So you used the because people were asking.
That's 100% live.
Like exactly a Borat thing, like where down. Maybe he changes.
The only thing I added, the only thing I added was the little watermark, the Sync Army watermark.
Okay, but
the video.
You used the Sinkin' Stanley voice is what I'm saying.
I sure as hell did.
Right to his face, because that was a lot
right
of people
to
saying,
his face,
oh, he
man.
Could have edited that. You don't see, they
no,
don't see you
absolutely
talking.
Absolutely not.
So. Perfect. Nope. I just wanted to clarify that for people that were asking.
If I would have edited it, you would have heard my Sinkin' Stanley voice a lot louder than it was. Because if you notice, it's not as loud as his voice.
I think the thing speaking of disclaimers here, and we usually don't do this on Shout It Out Loudcast, but we're having you on because, as I said earlier, like you right now in this interview with Doc is literally shaping the Kiss narrative right now. And on Shout It Out Loudcast, we like to have what's big and what's hot. Not to mention, we've been friends with you off, you know, behind the scenes for a while. So having you on now doesn't necessarily mean that we, you know, that we're on your side per se. And we're going to get into that. But my thing is this. I watched the video a couple times. I can't believe the honesty and the openness and the frankness of Doc. Like, I wonder if he knows he said.
I will tell you this. He almost seemed a little bit like they had been drinking some wine or something.
Thank you. I agree.
He seemed a little, if you listen to his voice,
he was slurring.
And the way he was a little bit because, it just, and right after that event, they got in their car and they went right next door to a restaurant for dinner to take those people out to dinner.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I'll be honest with you. I've said this to Tom when me and Tom talked about this. I said it just a couple minutes ago. I think this is completely a fireable offense. You have now taken something that might go down in Kiss's Wikipedia page. In their history, nobody would bring up the fucking tracks and stuff. In a, let's say, I'm just giving an example. Because it was an allegation. And me and Tom talked about that. It's almost like a steroid thing with baseball players. There was rumors of it, but they're not going to put it in writing unless you have it. He didn't get A-Rod caught, right? Like someone like David Ortiz didn't get caught with it, but there's rumors about it. Same thing with Paul. Now you have him manager. So now I can completely see in a Kiss Wikipedia or Paul Stanley, later on the career, Kiss was criticized for this and this and this, for using backing tracks, and their manager claimed and stated that they did. This is something that will stay with them now forever. You can't take that back. Your manager admitted it. That's in Paul's legacy. And if we know one thing, Paul is all about his legacy. That's going to be
know as Kiss fans that Paul's, whether it's Paul or his PR person, sets up these interviews and tells them what they can and cannot talk about.
Which is so why this one is so interesting, because this was off the cuff and unplanned.
And here's the thing. Go ahead. I lost my train of thought.
No, I was just going to say, this is the thing that makes this even more. It's a peek behind the curtain because it was unscheduled, it was unplanned, it was off the cuff, and a lot of times
it really was.
And a lot of times people speak the truth when there's no script. So, like Zeus said, fireable offense. We all know how sensitive Paul is. Okay, whether that's good, bad, or indifferent, Doc. The manager of Kiss, this is not a journalist, this is not a roadie, this is not somebody who hates Kiss or who has an axe to grind. This is Doc fucking McGee said explicitly that tracks are being used, okay? Now,
and it totally contradicts the narrative of the entire End of the Road tour. Because before the End of the Road tour, we all know the straw that broke the camel's back was that Barcelona video that came out.
Yeah,
that was it.
Tell us about that a little bit more in case our listeners aren't familiar with the Barcelona video.
The Barcelona, I think it was what, two, 2018 that came out
before the end of the road tour.
There's a YouTube video of it.
Yeah.
And they're all singing Love Gun.
And, you know, it was just the climax of shit of how he sounds.
Yep.
And that was the straw that broke the camel's back, because then when they came out with the end of the road tour and they introduced their new costumes and they presented everything on that cruise, right?
Yep.
Came out with their costumes. They even said, if you watch some of that cruise video, you'll hear it right from Paul's mouth. Oh, we're testing out some new technology and blah, 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 and doing this and doing that. And ever since then, it was like they started tracking right on that cruise, because they were tracking right before that when they did, what was it? The America's Got Talent, Got Duped.
That's,
you know?
Yep.
So, you know, and they were tracking it on the late night shows that they were doing leading up to the end of the road tour. And then sure enough, after the end of the road tour, every single fucking video was identical. You can take concert after concert after concert and layer in them, and they're exactly the same.
I think the thing that's going to lend a little bit of credence to what Zeus said and what I agree with about Doc's tenure with the band being hanging in the balance here. This was picked up by every major rock news website out there. Loudwire, Ultimate Classic Rock, Ultimate Guitar, Blabbermouth, even some of the fringe ones, all the Facebook.
Did you hear today where it is?
It's in Germany,
Italy.
Exactly. That's my point. So now everybody is talking about Kiss. Like Zeus's analogy was perfect. We thought David Ortiz did steroids, but we never got it. We know Barry Bonds did steroids, and now Barry Bonds' legacy is fucked.
So now it also opens it up for people to ask Paul questions. Watch how the interviews will start drying up now. Dude.
Now you bring up another thing. How are they going to control this on the Kiss cruise now? How is this going to be? Now, granted, the cruise is a year away.
Sings on the cruise.
No.
He does sing on the cruise.
I'm saying a Paul Stanley Q&A on the cruise.
I almost asked him a question. Yeah, I know. He'd thrown up. Remember we were talking about if we wore this shirt, we'd get thrown overboard if we fucking wore a sinking Stanley shirt on the cruise. But you know what?
You know what, though? When I was there and I was doing my shtick and everything.
Yeah.
I thought I would get some flack from fans. I was a little tiny concerned until I actually got there and I was like, nobody's going to do shit.
Right.
And it was like, I don't know.
So let me ask you this, because I want to get this part out of the way too, for people that are listening here. I know you and Eddie now are buddies. We've had Eddie on our show a bunch of times. We're buddies with him. And I know that you guys feel the same way about Tracks and, you know, in the fake Freely and the Cheetah Chris and all that stuff. That I'm not a huge fan of Ace and Tommy wearing the makeup. Okay. But I'm going to be honest with you right now. And you can call me whatever kind of fan you want. I don't really give a shit about Tracks. I really don't. And here's the thing. Here's the thing. And I hate using.
Let me ask you this. Are you a musician?
I can play the guitar a little bit, but I've never been in a band.
You've never been in a band. You've never recorded.
No.
You've never played live.
No.
Therefore, you don't care about Tracks. See, if you were a musician, you might have a different view.
I played Little League. Does that mean I should give a shit more about fucking Barry Bonds hitting, having steroids? Doesn't make a fucking difference. It doesn't matter.
What is that? But Tim, think about that.
I'm in a band and Paul isn't, and Paul is too. That I don't buy that. That doesn't give somebody else more of a right to be upset. If you truly value an artist and that's your shtick and you're upset that they do that, that's fine. But I don't think it has anything to do with you being a musician, because I'm sure there are people that aren't musicians that are just as upset as you. And there are some musicians that say, I don't give a fuck.
And the other thing too, and I hate doing this. I hate playing like the what about it, the whataboutism. You know, people do it in politics all the time.
Yeah.
And I know we had Eddie on our show, and he pushed back. I'm not saying it's right, wrong, or indifferent. You really think these bands that are touring right now in 2023 aren't doing the exact same fucking thing? They are.
Some of them are. A lot of them aren't.
Our era bands are the ones that are from our era. Most of them.
No, I'm sorry, man. I went to Armored Saint and Wasp. Armored Saint came out live as could be.
No, sounded phenomenal. You just gave us a layup.
Phenomenal.
Saint and Wasp. You can't tell if this thing attracts anyways.
Oh, you could tell. Well, track with the Sync Army. One of my Sync Army members
is the one
that interviewed Blackie and got him to admit he was using backing tracks.
And what I heard is that he's like, fuck this. I'm not touring the U.S. ever again, you motherfuckers.
So let me ask you
that. I find that hilarious.
No big loss.
Everybody.
That was pretty funny. And that was pretty funny. He's like, yeah, we use tracks. Fucking see you later, U.S.
I'm never touring here again. Oh, Paul Stanley here.
Paul Stanley calling. But seriously, like, so I guess my thing is like, we're Kiss tards. We all are. I love the band. I heard the Virginia Beach off the soundboard. That is what that band is going to sound like right now, times 10, if there is not using some kind of quote vocal enhancement. Because he's not lip syncing. He's using tracks, which is like an enhancement.
He's singing over it. And I don't believe it's the same as lip syncing over a track.
There's a
difference.
Yeah, I'm not going to bend over backwards here defending this, but I guess my question to you, Tim, is or to anybody out there who's listening to this who agrees with Tim and Eddie, are you pissed that it's Kiss doing it? Are you or you think like you don't want them to tour at all? Would you rather have them tour and sound like shit and be like, yeah, that's 100% live? Like the philosophy that you guys have about this 100% live, because Eddie posts it all the time. He's like, oh, I saw Tom Kiefer 100% live. That's great. He sounded terrible, Eddie. He sounded terrible. And if you would rather have 100% live sounding terrible, that's your right. But that's not what I want. I don't want to pay money for a terrible sounding show. It's the same thing when you go see like a Marvel movie. Yeah, it's special effects. It's fake because I'm paying money to be entertained. If Paul Stanley is using tracks to enhance his voice so it doesn't sound like a dead dog, I'm okay with that because I'm paying to be entertained.
I'd rather have him retire.
You don't want him to retire.
That's a separate argument.
How about
other
people that don't want him to retire? You take that choice away from them, right? And the choice is
choice.
Easy for you.
Then he should be singing live for you, Tim.
Don't watch him, so the other people can watch him, right? Isn't that easy? But that's the point. It's their choice. Give the people their choice. If you do it your way, nobody gets anything, and you win, right? So
everybody
look,
bitches about the set list anyway. I mean,
yeah,
Kiss
but doesn't mean we should
retire.
All put it away. That's what Kiss tards do. We have nothing better to do than bitch about the same thing and then go, oh shit, they just put out a fucking purple version of Double Platinum. I don't have this. Oh,
hey, that's me. I bought the purple version of Double Platinum. What the fuck?
I didn't know if there was one.
No, there isn't. There isn't a purple version.
Okay.
Of Double Platinum.
But I'm just saying, like, let the people choose what they want. I don't have that big a deal. Do I want him to sing regular? Yes. But I don't have that option. So rather than not have anything, I'd rather enjoy Kiss for a couple more years with Tommy, with Fat Face on the drums, with fucking Paul singing over tracks. I'd rather have that than nothing. And would I rather have Ace playing? Yeah, if he could play. Not that shit he's doing up there now.
That's what happens.
He certainly can't play right now.
That's a perfect example. That's what happens when you're not using tracks.
Or give a fuck.
Right. Now,
I don't practice. Yeah, no shit, buddy.
Tim, let me ask you this. I know that you've reached out to Eddie. You call him often, and Eddie's great. We love Eddie, and the conversations that you have are great. Has anybody contacted you specifically? Has anybody reached out to you for more information on this or to pick your brain on the interview with Doc and how you got it? Has anybody contacted you? If you don't have to answer us, but just asking.
You mean from the Kiss camp or
from anybody from the Kiss?
I've just had podcasts requesting me to come on.
Okay.
But where did you go?
Multiple podcasts.
Where did you go?
What?
I said, Yeah.
You and Trunk. That's.
I wasn't sure if anybody.
Obviously,
from, like,
the number one Kiss podcast in the world.
Let me ask you
this. Guys and Eddie Trunk, you're the top echelon.
Why did you use Tiger King's face for sinking Staley. Please.
Oh, and by the way,
in all honesty, I did every Kiss member as the Tiger King.
I can't stand what, that face.
I did Paul
and I'm
first.
Looking at Zeus's t-shirt right now.
But the answer to that is also, do you remember when you first did it? Paul saw that image and thought it was funny. And he retweeted it.
Yeah.
He retweeted it, not knowing. And then what ended up happening, gave you some notoriety, is at some point, all your fucking harassment of him and him blocking you and you fucking terrorizing him.
Well, Hold on, Tim.
Go ahead, Zeus.
So he finally tried to dox you online. And nobody had his back for that. That is beyond stupid. And he mentioned your name, your type of business. Should I do this? Should I? And everybody's like, what the fuck? Yeah, we've had certain people that are friends with him that are stars that we hang out and talk to that reached out to us and was like, and we can't say their name because we don't want them to hear
I know.
And get Paul upset.
I know who you're talking about anyway. But
like,
anyway.
What the fuck? Is he stupid? Why the fuck would you give this guy any attention? Eddie Trunk says the same thing. Everyone, I was like, dude, why would you do that? Like, it makes you look terrible.
Not to mention doxing's illegal.
Of course it is.
A celebrity can't come after a private citizen just because they have an opinion on you and put your family's information, even though he didn't release my information, he put enough of it out there to where it was a threat towards me.
Yeah.
So. And I did have some threats. I'm not going to lie. Yeah. I had some threats.
That's insane. You know? Over something like this, that's insane. But you're right. That's what we're dealing with right now.
So to be honest with you, that's where I said, you're going to do that. Guess what? I'm going to ramp it up. And now this is perfect payback, I guess. You know,
so let me ask you this, Tim, but before we'll finish up in a second here. I just want to ask. So where do you go now? Because you've kind of reached the apex here. You got the Kiss manager to admit what everybody in the Sink Army has been talking about. What's next for what's
Sink Stanley here? Listen. This ain't over. It ain't over. It ain't over till the lip syncer sings. Okay? The man himself has to admit it. Okay? Or Gene. I'll take Gene.
Yeah, what's up with that? Hey, what's up with that? You started this new character, but he kind of drifted off.
Oh, yeah. What happened to that one? Greed Simmons, whatever his name is.
Greed Simmons here.
You can't even get through.
Greed. We love that name.
See, it just doesn't, because everybody loves Gene, and everybody's been talking about how the greed forever. So it doesn't have the kind of legs that Sinking Stanley does.
It just doesn't. It just doesn't, man. And to be honest with you, I can't do the Gene voice that great.
But you had it as like Gene's face with like Trump's hairdo.
Yeah, we got Greed Simmons. We got Carrot Bottom.
Carrot Bottom. Who's that?
He's got Paul with the carrot top's head.
Oh,
hairdo.
Jesus Christ!
Yeah. Yeah, see, Carrot Top.
Okay, I get
carrot
you.
Bottom, rock bottom, you know, come on.
I got you.
Connect the dots.
Well, Tim, it's been a long time coming. This has been a lot of fun. Of course, like I said, you're kind of shaping the Kiss news this week, so we wanted to have you on to talk about that incredible breaking point there with Doc. You know, people, if you're interested in this kind of stuff, you can find him on Facebook. He's got a Facebook group you can join.
He's got a YouTube channel.
That's right. He's got a YouTube channel. He's out there, so you can find him.
Tim, plug it.
Yeah, Tim, tell us if people are interested in this insanity, where they can go for it.
Thinking Stanley here, and you can go on to the Thinking Stanley YouTube channel. And if you're tired of all the lies and hypocrisy of current Kiss, you can join the Facebook group, the Think Army. Join our mission. You better think before you think, or the Kiss Army's coming after you.
Oh, before you go, a little professional courtesy here. Can you do the coming home sync version of the coming of Kiss singing of Paul doing Coming Home?
I'm syncing tracks for you.
Are you asking for a special dedication there, dude?
Yes.
Yes.
It's been a month or two since I was thinking for you. I'm on tour again. Have you guys heard the new Think Army theme song?
No,
but you didn't finish it. Finish it. I want you to get to the chorus part of the Coming Homes version.
I'm thinking track for you.
Oh, God almighty. What is happening here?
I'm thinking track for you.
The new Think Army theme song. It's the Kiss Migo doll theme from the 70s.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. It's great. It's very well made. Well, Tim, you're relentless, buddy.
For this episode, we will never, ever step 2 feet from Paul Stanley again.
No, I don't think it's ever going to happen. No,
I don't think it ever was going to happen, guys.
Hey, you never know. You never know. You never know.
You might get Gene, though. You might get Gene.
Tim, honestly, you've always been a good sport about all this stuff. There are things that you do that just, as you can tell, crack us up. There are things we don't like, but we're okay, and we let you know which ones are cool. But you've always added some fun to our Loudcasters Facebook group and other stuff, and your comments are always welcome. Thanks.
And I'll always respect your page, man. I'll always respect you guys. If you ask me, we appreciate it.
We do.
I'm not like that. So it's all
Tim,
good.
Tim,
it's all tongue in cheek.
Tim, thank you for joining us. We had a lot of fun. And you know what? Kudos on breaking some news with the band. So
thanks, Tim. All right, Tom, we did it. What do you think?
Look, I thought Tim made his point, and that's the thing I have no problem with. If you believe in something and you're steadfast in it and you have a reason for believing in it, fine. I don't agree with him. I told him how I feel about the tracks and how I feel about different things with the band. And everybody has their incredibly diverse opinions on the makeup, the tracks, whatever you want to call it, the syncing, whatever. I think it's news. You had the manager of Kiss literally responding to this with details and admitting that tracks were being used. That's news, whether you want to believe it or not, whether you care or not, whether you like me, I said, yeah, other bands are doing this.
Tom,
what's the big fucking deal?
In vino veritas, you were right. He was drunk.
Yeah.
I think he had too much to drink and he wasn't as sharp as he should have been. As the manager, are we kidding ourselves? You think Doc McGee does not know about Paul's sensitivity? You fucking talked about track. They've been hiding this for 4 years. Doc isn't aware that, hey, we don't talk about tracks. We don't fucking admit that shit. We're hiding that stuff. He wasn't given the memo? Or did he just like never occur to him that somebody would ask him that? Or is Kiss so isolated that then nobody's ever asked him that? Nobody brings it up.
No one has ever. First of all, I think the thing, and Tim even said this, he was blown away. He's like, fuck, this Doc. I'm just going to go up to him and ask him, what the fuck? Doc's like, yeah, okay. I can tell you whatever you want.
But it isn't Ace Frehley management. I'm the CEO.
Right.
It's Doc McGee. You don't fucking know better.
Right. It's stunning. And I think that's the thing. You know, we heard Eddie Trunk was talking about this week. And he even said, he goes, it is stunning that the manager of the band, like, again, this isn't some journalist. This isn't somebody that has an axe to grind. This is Doc fucking McGee, the manager of Kiss for the last fucking 30 years or however long it's been. And he comes out and says, oh, yeah, the tracks. Yeah, he's singing, but the tracks and blah, blah, blah. Like, holy fuck, dude.
Dude, the guy said his name was Sinkin' Stanley, and then he went into a character. Let me ask you the question. Your radar doesn't go up. Like, I can't. I'm all set. I'm sorry. I can't do this.
Yep.
You don't know how to say no. You're Doc McGee. What the fuck are you doing? So you think that comment on the Kiss Cruise, I'm disappointed I didn't get to kill Peter Criss. You don't think Paul Stanley's saying right now, I'm disappointed I didn't go back and fucking choke out Doc McGee for fucking giving credence and credibility to the guy that's been torturing him. Not just any fan, Tom. Not anybody. That guy.
I truly am. I'm really interested. We're never going to know. That phone call that Paul made to Doc. What the fuck is happening now?
It's two parts. It's the whole track discussion and admitting it.
Yep.
And it's you gave credibility to that fucking asshole.
That's the other thing.
And he's going to have that over me and he tortured me. He fucking got me. Paul Stanley.
You threw red meat to a shark in the water. That's what you did. Oh my
God.
It's ugly. It's ugly. And it's and look, we've been messaging with Tim for years behind the scenes. He messaged us and sent us the video. And I said to Zeus, I sent it to him. I go, you're not going to watch this. I'm not even going to add a comment. Just fucking watch what just happened here. And Tim sent it to us in real time from the art gallery.
Yep.
And the next thing you know, boom, it's on all the major rock and metal social media sites, websites. Tim also mentioned that it was breaking overseas now. People in Germany are talking about it, that this is like, yeah, Kiss's manager, blah, blah, blah. Like, what the fuck, dude? Not good. And Zeus, I keep coming back to your analogy, which is perfect. It's the steroid thing. Yeah, we think David Ortiz did it, but we don't have anything. So it's okay. We know that Barry Bonds did it. Fuck him.
And that's it. And you can't talk about Barry Bonds without it.
Correct.
I'm telling you now, this is something that might go in Kiss and Paul Stanley's Wikipedia page. Controversy where they admitted that he sings to tracks.
Yep. Now, again, I said this during the show. I'm not as offended by this as Tim is or by a lot of other people out there, the way Eddie Trunk is. I'm not offended. It doesn't bother me that much. I'll be honest with you. As a side note, the makeup bothers me more than the tracks, but we'll save that for maybe another episode. I get how it offends people. I get it. But to me, it's not that big of a deal. But the fact that the manager is telling everybody out there, oh, yeah, it's I combining that with the incredible level of sensitivity that Paul has. I just don't see how Paul and Doc are going to be in the fucking same room again without him wanting to choke him.
Yeah. And Doc has enough money that he doesn't need Kiss. And at this point in his age too, he might say, fuck it. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Who knows? Exactly. I don't know. By the time this episode drops, this is Wednesday.
Yeah.
Episode drops on Saturday. Shit could change. Or are we blowing this up more than it is? Paul and Doc are fine. They're buddies. I don't know.
Nobody knows.
Paul has fucking lost friends and relationships for a lot less than this.
Dude, this is not about the band. This is about Paul.
Yes.
This is a Paul-specific controversy.
Oh, what is Sir Rod going to think about me now? What are they going to say in People Magazine about me? Like, this is the shit that bothers him and keeps him up at night.
It's too bad. I mean, again, kudos to Tim. I don't even think he knew what he was getting or that he would get what he got.
We pushed back on him a little.
Of course.
Because let's be honest, still, I don't get the fucking over the top, like every day putting memes up of Paul every day.
Yep.
If you like the band and now you don't like the fact that, they have Ace, so you fucking torture Paul all day long. I mean, there's a little bit of like, what the fuck? But, you know, he broke some news here and we have to talk about it. And the fallout from this, who knows? I mean, that's our opinion. Maybe we're overreacting, but I think this is bad.
I do too.
Feel bad.
I do too. I don't think this is going to be some kind of flash in the pan Sam Loomis thing. I think this might have some legs. I hope it doesn't. For God's sakes, I don't want to see Doc get fired or Doc quit or that kind of shit happen, but I don't know. We'll see.
Nobody ever ask Doc? Like, Doc didn't know not to say anything about this?
like Tim said, like you said, in vino veritas.
Dude, he took 1 minute and he broke this huge news. 1 minute with Doc and he got this out of him.
Yep.
Oh, yep. Incredible. God bless him. And this is the shit. You got it out of him. He ought to be commended. The balls to ask him the question.
I agree.
And in character,
which is mind blowing. And I'm glad you clarified that, Zoo, so that our listeners understand. He did not edit that in. He literally went, "Thinking Stanley here, Doc. Can you tell us about the tracks?" Doc's like, "Yeah, say he's using them."
Yeah, his Doc's brain didn't go, "Sinking Stanley. This is the guy that Paul," or, "Dude, this guy's shitting on Paul. Like, I'm not fucking giving him credit." Like, and he's like, "Oh yeah, sure." But, and he's explaining it as though, like, "Oh no, you don't understand. It's not this, it's this." To the purists, it's fucking blasphemy. But I don't agree with Eddie or Tim that this is the same as lip syncing at the award shows and things like that, or other pop stars are doing. Singing over the tracks, okay, is not the same as lip syncing, in my opinion.
No, it's not.
There's a level of who was the great comedian? Eddie Izzard. It's like, if there's levels of murder and there's levels of things, there's levels of lying. Like, you know, "I cheated on you." "No, I didn't." Or, "Yeah, I fucking murdered fucking 20 right. people. Yep. Okay. There's level of lying to your fan base. No, there's a guy behind the curtain really singing. No, I'm not. Nothing's actually coming out of my mouth. Or, no, I'm singing over tracks. I think there's a level to it.
Of course,
as bad or as impure as they make it out to be. In a perfect world, we wouldn't need this.
Yeah,
but we do, because they wouldn't give us a show without it. Mm-hmm. I'll take it.
Me
and
too.
That's our choice to go.
That's right.
But by Tim's and the Eddies that say, no, they shouldn't be out there without Ace, and they shouldn't be out there if Paul can't sing live. Well, now you took it away from all of us.
Yep.
If you don't like that version, then don't go see it.
Don't go. Exactly.
We'll see it.
Yep.
And maybe they'll do something in the future that makes me say, "I don't want to see that shit."
Right.
I don't know. But, you know, here we are.
Yep. Agreed.
So anyway, Tom, let's go to question of the week.
Yeah. So we got a question here from Josh Smith on Facebook. Now, this is a question that probably over the years we may have touched upon, but I like to kind of come back to these types of things because thankfully we're grateful we've gained new listeners and new fans to the show. So even if we've answered this 2 years ago or something similar, let's go at it again. So Josh Smith says, "You have to pick three songs that are not hits or concert staples to play for someone who has never listened to Kiss. What are you going to pick?"
Three songs.
They're not hits or not concert staples, something, you know.
Okay. So you're asking three songs. So I will go with A Million to One,
mm-hmm.
Nowhere to Run, and Turn on the Night.
Okay, nice.
Now, if you want me to throw a Gene song in there, just so I can just say something, I would probably say Plaster Caster, because somebody would be like, "Wow, that's a fucking catchy tune."
Interesting how it's pretty much all non-makeup. I mean, I know Nowhere to Run was written Killers Elder era, but two non-makeup songs. Okay. Yeah. So for me, I'm going to start with something off of Dress to Kill. I'm going to go with Rock Bottom. I know it was on Alive, but they didn't have a lot to choose from for that, so I don't really consider it a hit or a concert staple. Something a little heavy that really kicks ass, a song that I absolutely love, and it's a Gene track, and that's Thou Shalt Not off Revenge. And then I would probably go with something maybe to add a little bit of poppiness to it. In terms of that, I would probably take something off of that trifecta that we love from Hot in the Shade, something like Silver Spoon or You Love Me to Hate You or King of Hearts. I would probably take one of those. I'd probably maybe throw Silver Spoon in there to give people a little bit of taste of that kind of pop metal sound. So great question, Josh. I know we may have touched on this in the past, but it's a great question, because you're right. If somebody's never listened to Kiss, what do you play for them? Now, I do want to add a little kind of personal side note on this. My son is in college, and he texts me the other day. He's hanging around with a bunch of guys, a bunch of girls, and he says that one of his – it's not his girlfriend. It's a friend who's a girl – says that this girl's dad always sends her little playlists for bands that like he likes to try to get her into it and vice versa. So he sent her a playlist of Kiss songs, 5 Kiss songs for her to get into. And it was funny because it was a couple of the songs. It was Detroit Rock City, God of Thunder, Rock and Roll All Night, Beth. So I thought that was kind of interesting that he went with obviously the staples. And the girl's reaction was, Beth is terrible. So I thought that was kind of funny. So Josh Smith, great question. Thanks, buddy, from Facebook for asking. Appreciate it.
Tom, where can people find us?
Check us out on our website, shoutoutloudcast.com. That's where everything is there. You can find our Patreon link that we talked about. You can use our Amazon merch link to buy some awesome Shout Out Loudcast gear. You can shop on Amazon right from our link, too. You can do that. And, of course, all of our episodes are there. Shout It Out Loudcast, our new Dorm Damage episode. We talk about grunge, album review crews, Zeppelin Chronicles. They're all there. All the rankings, everything is there. It's your one-stop shop. You can message us directly from the website, and that gets sent to us in the form of an email. So we love when you guys do that. Or you can actually send us a regular email, shoutitoutloudcast@gmail.com. And, of course, our social media, very active on that, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. So, yeah, we're very active on social media. So check us out, follow us, tag us, all that good stuff. And, of course, another huge shout out to our Patreon family. You can check us out on our website, as I mentioned, or you can go to patreon.com, download the app. And a huge shout out to Mark Edwards for joining our Patreon family. Thank you for that. And, of course, we always like to say proud member of the Pantheon Podcast Network of shows. So check that website out, Pantheon Podcast. Tons of great shows on there, including us.
Yeah, Tom, we always tell people they can DM us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, please. Thank you for doing that. Again, we're almost up to 1,000, which is a magic number for us. Help us get there. Go on our YouTube channel and subscribe. Give us one of those 5-star child reviews. It's another great way to help the show. You can do that on Apple Podcasts, Facebook, Spotify, anywhere you can give us a review. If you give us those 5-star reviews, it moves us up the food chain and helps the show go a little bit further than it normally would because we get more exposure. And that is a big plus to us. How do you help the show? You join our Patreon family. You give us one of those 5-star reviews and you go to our awesome merch and Amazon store. You can buy your stuff now, your Shout It Out Loudcast gear right from Amazon. Just do a search for us, t-shirts, Shout It Out Loudcast, or go to our awesome website. Go to the merch button and you'll see all our stuff pops up there. It's now sold on Amazon. So everybody that's out there that has Amazon Prime, you can get the stuff in 2 days. Apparently.
Right. Yep.
So go there and look, check around your Amazon store. That link is right there on our website. Big help to us. All those things help the show and all our fucking awesome loudcasters out there. Thank you for those that have and thank you for those that will. So much appreciated. So remember, you can always email us at shoutitoutloudcast@gmail.com. shoutitoutloudcast@gmail.com. And go to our website for all things Shout It Out Loudcast, whether it be episodes, rankings, photos, crazy stuff, Loudcaster photos. It's all there. And if you have a shirt or some gear of Loudcaster gear and you want us to put it on the website, send it to us and we'll give us the permission to do so. We'll put it right on the website, your handsome mug. So thank you for that. And once again, we appreciate everything you guys have done for us. And we end with famous last words. You got any, Tom?
Oh, I do. You buy the magazine, in between the lines, you see my face, you read my name. And you can have me for one price, baby. You must have heard of my fame.
Before you tell me to go, I've got to let you know how you're making my temperature rise. I let you use me. You try to abuse me. You tell me you're not very nice.
Nice.
Sinkins. Thinking Stanley
here, people, and listen.
Tim, Loudcasters, Tom, Kiss Army, everybody, thank you. And I hope everybody gets some loving on Valentine's Day. Happy Vay Day to everybody.
Tim, thank you for joining us. It was a ton of fun. Great stuff as always. Everybody out there, thank you so much for being the greatest fans and listeners and supporters in the world. You guys are the best. Zeus, as always, my friend, thank you.
Peace out, Girl Scout.
It sounded like a diabolical form of punishment. I pictured going into a hospital room and having somebody torture me.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more Fantasy Points.